We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 32 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, your new favorite Pokemon podcast and the official one for comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer. Welcome back, guys. We made it another week. Yes,
we did.
We did survive.
Clearly, if you're watching the video, holiday season.
Holiday season is here. We have a big show planned. We have a bunch of stuff to go through. We have trading card game news to go through, Sword and Shield news, Pokemon Go news, Pokemon stuff news. That's all of the stuff that we like to cover on a weekly basis on this show, which comes out every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Available wherever podcasts can be found.
Really quick, what's exactly different about this show that makes it a holiday show? I must have missed that.
There's nothing different about the show.
It's the holiday season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's nothing different. I'm just genuinely a holiday person, and I'm in the midst of decorating, so.
Thanksgiving's over.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah.
It is. It's time for the holiday season. But for those of you listening to the podcast, there are no visual cues whatsoever that this is a holiday episode. FYI.
Just so you feel a little
Christian,
cheery.
I am not going to sell the fact that you are wearing a Pokemon Santa hat, okay?
What? Oh, I am. Oh, what do you know?
We'll cover some of that stuff first. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about some of the new releases that the Pokemon Company was putting out in the Pokemon Center stores online and in the stores. I guess they're on shelves in Japan, but there aren't any in the States, so it doesn't matter. some of the stuff that we covered were the Pokemon trains that Christian's very, very excited for.
There's one sitting in my office. Actually, right now.
One of the new ones?
Yeah. I bought it for my son as a Christmas present.
Nice.
So the box is just sitting here staring at me.
Oh, no.
Just off camera.
So the Pokemon Company was kind enough to send us some of their holiday wares like they did for the Halloween stuff. Megan is going to grab some of the stuff out of the box, mainly because I am attached by an earwig and I can't get too far. First thing up, so Christian is wearing last year's holiday hat. Megan has this year's holiday hat, which is green and has Eevee ears. Are the Eevee ears double-sided?
Yes.
Are they?
Oh, that's...
Well, went the wrong way.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they have... Oh, it's backwards.
Yeah, you're wearing it backwards. Pokeball's got to go up front. There you go.
That was embarrassing.
So it's a green hat. Right. It's got Eevee ears that stick out on the side. A Pokeball that has two holly leaves right there. It's very, very adorable.
I feel so much less unique right now.
Oh, no. I think my earwig came out.
Oh, no. Christian, Megan can't hear. Well, you got to go grab it. While Megan is trying to grab the earwig so she can listen to Christian, I'm going to grab some of the stuff that is in the box. As I try to also not knock over my water. This is very thrilling content for the people who are listening. But there's a bunch of cool stuff in here.
Let's just get it all out.
Just pull it
out.
I can hear
everything now. So, Hoffer, you can't talk bad about me.
Oh, it's been nothing but like several minutes of just mocking you.
This, okay, that's fine.
So mainly it's just
so so the Pokemon string lights are actually really cool because I thought these were going to be really weird looking at first, just the way that they were shown on the website. But they are pretty cool. You get 10 of them are on a string.
That's pretty great.
Pretty cool.
Very excited to use those for my own house. So for anyone who doesn't know, and if you check out my Twitter, you will soon see this. I decorate my Christmas plushies with Pokemon. And so I saw this on the website. This is Sylveon, obviously. For anyone who knows, I love the evolutions. And it's wearing a little Christmas coat, and it's so glittery with like the snowflakes. So this is my definite favorite. It's not even a close competition.
This is a cool. So there's so Eevee seems to be the Pokemon this year for the holiday stuff. So it's an Eevee plush that's sort of tied to or sewn onto a green stocking that has a hook. If my kid did not have a family heirloom, type stocking. My father made my kid a stocking, and he gets very upset if we even hint at getting her a different stocking.
Oh no.
I know. So.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yes. I will say this really quickly. This is the Charmander reindeer uniform.
Oh my God.
So basically yesterday.
If these do not come to Pokemon Go, I'm going to be really upset because it's super freaking cute.
Yes. I will say this. Yesterday I went out on a hunt to find a specific Alolan Vulpix figure. Mm-hmm. And I also was looking for this guy, and he is sold out in the entire middle Nashville region. I could not find him. I went to three different GameStops. He does not exist. But now that I'm holding one, I see why he sold out, because he's just so freaking cute.
These are all on sale at GameStops and stuff, as well mm-hmm. as the Pokemon Center online store.
Yep. So, and the last one that we're gonna just go through is this Pikachu in a. Let's see, is it named? No, it's just this Pikachu. He's in a white robe holding a present. But also with a beard that you can.
Oh my gosh, there's a beard.
Oh, that's really cute.
Which is actually pretty freaking cute.
So it's like Father.
Send that to me.
Father Pikachu. There we go. I think Hoffer has pictures.
There we go.
I didn't notice the beard because the whole outfit's white.
Right, it was all white. I thought it was just like the coat just like wrapped up around its face. But yeah, no, that's just, that is a beard. That is a removable beard. Look at this. If you've got a big Pokemon fan in your life, and you're looking for a holiday themed gift to give them, these are all very, very cool. That Charmander thing may actually be my favorite.
And there's a couple things you can pull out. There's some ornaments on the website. There's Eevee and Pikachu on the website. They have some holiday play mats for TCG mugs players. So many mugs. So many. Honestly, so many. So feel free to look at them. Mm-hmm. They're great quality. I do recommend.
Now that the holiday stuff's over, I'm taking off this hat because I can't get my oversized headphones really around it. So I've been holding it up to my ear manually like I'm a DJ. So this thing has to get off.
Well, I'm going to see how long this lasts. This will be a test of quality. Yeah. How long can this stay on my giant head? Yeah.
So much better. There we go.
All right, moving on to some quick Pokemon Sword and Shield news. Last week we talked about the Gigantamax Snorlax that is coming to the game in raids. It is now live.
And I caught one.
What?
I have not come across
a single damn Gigantamax.
I got one last night.
I'm at the point in the game where I'm at the semifinals. I'll talk about that sort of later on mm-hmm. the thing. I have not fought Leon yet, but mainly because I've been spending all of my damn time in the wild area trying to find Gigantamax Pokemon, and I haven't found one. I'm so annoyed.
It took me a really long time to find the Butterfree. I mean, it took me a really long time.
I have faced three Butterfrees in raids, none of them Gigantamax. Mm-hmm.
So do you have your online, do you connect to the internet when you head out to the wild area? Don't do that if you have a Roko stick, because it kills the Roku. I think we talked about that.
Wait, it kills your Roku stick?
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, this is a funny side story.
Connect online,
it causes the Roku to crash and get stuck in a reboot loop.
Oh, so you mean if you have your
the internet,
right? But and your Switch is docked, I imagine. Or
no. So I'm pretty sure.
I don't get how it's talking to the Roku stick.
So the things that sends out. So Pokemon Sword and Shield continually sends out these little packets of data, searching for other people playing Pokemon Sword and Shield, and it uses that. So even on your local wireless, right,
for,
so
local
if you are
trade,
connected. Mm-hmm. If your Switch is connected to the wireless, it doesn't even need to be connected to the wider internet. Uh-huh. As long as it's connected to your wireless, which most people have their Switches connected to their wireless, mm-hmm. the Roku starts picking up those data packets, and it apparently is similar enough to whatever Roku sends out that it causes it to crash because it's trying and failing to read it. And so I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on with my Roku stick for weeks. And my dad had come over for a couple of nights, and he was staying with us, and he was complaining because whenever he was trying to watch My Hero Academia, because he usually watches it on Toonami, so there's a multi-week delay, and meanwhile I'm me, like one of the bourgeois, you know, we have Funimation here in this house. So he was trying to watch it, and so I'd be playing like Pokemon Sword, and my Roku would crash. And so I was like, oh, maybe my Roku just sucks. And like, so it took me several weeks to figure it out, because we got the games like a week and a half before everyone else. So a couple days afterwards, like, Roku's like, yes, the Fire Sticks are incompatible with Pokemon Sword and Shield. It's the weirdest thing.
Oh, so that's so weird.
That's so
weird. I actually have to limit my Pokemon Sword and Shield time to when people are not using the Roku stick. Oh, that's so nuts.
Wow.
Okay, so now we've got to go back a little bit.
Yes,
so
wait, rewind.
Are you telling me, so I need to be connected to the internet to get to encounter these raids?
Well, you don't need to be connected to the internet, but it certainly increases your odds. So, this is a little trick that I have found.
I don't, because I hate those stupid stamps.
Well, if you connect, well, that's what you're looking for, is the stamps, because you can jump into other people's Gigantamax raids.
I did that. Every time I did that, I kept running into the people who are trying to game the system, and I keep getting kicked out of raids because...
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, like, it's very... touch and go, but like it's helpful for me. I have a few like real life friends who are also playing Sword and Shield, and so when we're all online at the same time, we hop into each other's raids and help us out. You know, and it's just,
I need
really
to add you all to my friends list. I don't know.
Yeah,
we've been doing this show for 32 weeks, and none of them are Switch friends with.
Yep, I see how it is, Jim. I see how it is.
What? No, I'm blaming this on you.
No,
this is your fault. You didn't even bring up the idea of wanting to be Switch friends until I said, y'all aren't on my list.
Jim, there is a power inequity here. You, sir, are my editor. You are my boss. I can't deign to ask you to be my friend, because then if you say no, I know that you will actually hate me. And that all the perceived slights that I have felt over the years
We have been friends long enough to know that that is a bold-faced lie.
I know it is. It's, here's the funny thing. Like, for those of you who don't know me, which is like all of you, I actually am a very neurotic and anxious person, and I am constantly on edge about that I'm either getting fired or getting phased out from literally every job I have. And I have enough faith in Jim that, you know, I'm like literally like the third longest tenured employee, fourth longest tenured employee at comicbook.com. You know, I've worked there longer than most of the staff.
Yep.
And despite all the changes over the years, this is the one place where I feel that I won't get screwed. Like, that's how much faith I have in Jim. Which says a lot, because, like, I am paranoid. I've worked at the same, like, my day job. I've worked at that place for 10 years and have survived multiple buyouts, huge amounts of turnover. And, like, every day I walk into work, I'm like, is this going to be my last? For whatever reason, I do not feel that way working under Jim. So, I am comfortable with Jim.
Exactly.
There you go.
However, there's still a power inequity here.
I like how you went through this really nice. That might actually be the nicest thing you've ever said about Jim podcast.
It's true. I'm just going to play that one on
loop. Play that back.
Okay. All right. So that's what I need to. So it will increase my odds if I connect to the internet.
Yeah, because you have multiple people looking for Gigantamax rays. And if you friend people you actually know, you can send each other text messages saying, hey, I'm about to jump into this raid. Mm-hmm. Want to hop in with me? Mm-hmm. And you'll have a better chance of it. It's not 100% guaranteed because, frankly, Pokemon Sword and Shield's online function kind of sucks. Yeah. There's just no getting around it. It's not the best.
Yeah.
But it is helpful. And also, I have access to all these juicy Pokemon Sword Pokemon that you guys don't have. So, friend me.
That's true.
Yeah, we gotta get on that. I will say, though, I saw somebody who got the Snorlax as well as soon as it came out. It was his first time encountering it, and it was the Gigantamax Snorlax Shiny, the first one he ran into.
Oh, you...
And, like, there's...
What?
Yeah, he was, like, on Twitch streaming, and it was the first that he went into, and he was like, all right, Snorlax is out, the patch is updated, let's go. Went into a raid den, he went in with some friends, and, like, you could see his face, and he saw the Gigantamax Snorlax, and he looked like he was about to, like, lose his mind. And then it sparkled, and he started, like, crying. Like, am legitimately I, crying. And in that moment, I was like, you know what? I understand that feeling because I just want one.
There was a shiny Corviknight in my Gigantamax Snorlax raid that I did last night. And it was, so there was me running around with my, like, pathetic Sirfetch because I had previously sent out all my best Pokemon out to do, jobs. Like, to Poke jobs. Yeah, I was like, you know, boosting up some IVs and stuff, or not IVs, but EVs. I had sent out all that, and then I found this random, like, oh, crap. So I hopped, I still had my Sirfetch. I have discovered that he is not the best in Gigantamax or in Braids. He's just not that strong. And so I was teamed up with a person with a Zacian, a person with a Zamazenta, and a shiny Corviknight. I'm like, I am just so outclassed here. Like, it's like,
you know, those other people who were playing saw that Sirfetch come in, and they just went,
he's not going to pull any weight.
They just went, can we, like, boot him?
Well, I Dynamax, so at least my role was clearing out the, you know, the boost on the raids.
Yeah.
So I was doing the 2 damage, because otherwise I wouldn't have done Jack. I wouldn't have done Jack otherwise. So I fulfilled my role pretty well.
All right. Well, the moral of the story is if you're listening to this and you want a Gigantamax Snorlax, friend us.
So how long so how long will Snorlax be around? Is TBD?
Until early, it's sometime in January. Mm-hmm. So they're cycling in different Gigantamax Pokemon in and out. And this actually ties into something that we'll talk about a little bit later, which actually, of course, just got announced after I wrote the script, but ties into some of the competitive stuff. So they're, like, cycling in stuff in and out. And so right now, the Snorlax, you're not guaranteed to find them, but if you, like, start dumping wishing pieces in, like, everything you see, eventually you will find one. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy. Like, and if you've been playing this pretty consistently, and, like, the wild area is, like, the end game area, so if you're hitting all that stuff and you're racking up all the watts and whatnot, like, you should have enough, like, wishing pieces that you should be able to,
okay, like, you keep that saying down. That, and I keep, and, like, I hate just going up to the empty ones just to get the 50 watts, but I don't have, like, I'm not, like, flush with watts.
I have 100,000.
I have 136,000 watts.
Yeah. Are you serious? But are you constantly spending them, or is that just because you guys are hoarding?
Yeah, like,
well, I only spend them on, like, quick balls and wishing pieces. Oh. That's really about it.
I spend a lot of mine on the digging duo, so I can try to get more fossils. And what else do I try to do? Yeah, I get the balls. There's a couple of, like, TRs that I aim for. And wishing pieces. That's the main thing that I try to get. But yeah, I cycle through mine pretty frequently.
I'm clearly not in the wild area as much as I think I'm spending.
Well, I think now that we're, like, post-game for me and Hoffer, like, we are so intensely raiding that it's like, get it, those watts.
But I love the wild area. Enough about the wild area. Let's keep moving on. Actually, let's just jump right to the competition thing that we were talking about, and then we'll go through some of the rest. So online competition, sign up now. Yes. Actually, sign up by, like, the time, like, you listen to this.
Literally sign up now as soon as you listen to this podcast.
Pause the podcast. Please come back, but sign up.
So Galar Beginnings is this weekend. The cutoff date is December 5th. Which is, you know, tomorrow when we're recording this today, if you're listening to this on Thursday. I forget exactly what time the cutoff is, but, you know, you don't have a lot of time if you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. So it is a singles battle. I believe it's 3-on-3 singles battles. It's, you know, any Galar Pokemon. I'm trying to think what else. You can't use the mythicals. There's no mythicals available right now. Mm-hmm. You can't use the legendaries, and you can't use Mew.
What do we think everyone's teams are, like, these competitive teams?
It's probably going to be Dragapult is going to be a popular choice because he's super fast.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people are going to use Arctifish.
But I get it.
Freaking nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, his thing is, so what I think a lot of people are going to try to use is kick it off with a Pokemon that can use Tailwind. So you can get your speed bonus. So I would use, like, Tailwind, like, you know, Whimsicott would be a good one to use, so that guarantees that your Tailwind gets out. Mm-hmm. Then Arctifish and just sweep the shit out of everything, excuse me. But yeah, Arctifish is going to be, like, a lot of people who aren't prepared for Arctifish are going to see that Pokemon and it's going to wreck
your
team.
For those who may not have come across Arctifish is a what type.
It is a water dragon type Pokemon. It is one of the abomination fossil Pokemon. So this is literally a Pokemon where it is the bottom half of a dragon with a fish head implanted onto its tail.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk more about the fossil Pokemon in a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And so it has this move called Fishious Rend that if it goes first, it doubles its power. When you combine that with its strong jaw ability, basically it can do a crap ton of damage. It will two-hit KO everything except for a handful of Pokemon that are immune to its ability, like, you know, immune to water attacks. Otherwise, like, it will just wreck. It wrecks stuff. Like, it's not going to be quite as viable in doubles battles because there will be enough people who will know how to counter it. But if you are not prepared in, you know, like, counter Arctivish, you will lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to lose because he'll just wipe your team. It's nuts.
What do you think people will add as a third?
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Another Octavish.
I would use something like, personally, I would use something thinking about if Arctavish is as popular as I believe, Gastrodon would be a good one, just to counter it. Lantern would be a good one to counter it. You know, it'll be some combination. The team that I'm like tossing around, I don't know if I'm going to do it this weekend because I have things to do, but like, you know, I've been looking at throwing in Whimsicott so I can get my Tailwind, use Dragapult just because he's really versatile. Arctivish because he's just, I'm way too excited to use that Pokemon. And then, you know, have a couple of counters out. So, you know, I'll probably use Grimmsnarl to counter Dragapult. I'll probably use Lantern just because my Lantern is better than my Gastrodon to counter Arctivish. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I haven't decided what my sixth would be yet.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Keeping on the Sword and Shield train for just a little bit longer, Sword and Shield plushies are out.
Yeah.
So yes, they are.
You need an adorable smaller Wooloo to snuggle, because we've talked about the giant Wooloo. Smaller Wooloo to snuggle, but those are available. The Corviknight looks pretty cool.
It's like Eldegoss.
Yeah.
Wooloo. Which is what, Gampers one?
Eldegoss is a weird looking Pokemon.
I mean,
I like Eldegoss.
I just like Glossifer, because like one of my favorite albums is like the, I say it's one of my favorite albums. Yep, now I can't remember the name. There we go. It's based on like Gossamer. And I just like, that's one of my favorite words of all time. Fun fact. So I just 900% want Yamper.
But they're only available in Japan though right now, right?
I think so. They should be coming out here soon though. They were officially announced for Japan, and we'll probably get them here via the Pokemon Center here in the next like couple months.
Yeah.
So. Moving on to Pokemon Go, a new Shadow Legendary Bird has arrived.
And yep. So
it's the one that everyone hates, but the one I think looks the coolest.
Well, Zapdos is a pretty handy Pokemon to use in Pokemon Go. I mean, it's no Shadow Moltres, but. I mean, I think it's a pretty useful, it's a top tier, you know, electric type Pokemon.
Yeah.
So you have to, in order to get Chao Zapdos, and a lot of people learned this too late, myself included, you have to complete the Team Rocket special research quest for the month. If you do not complete it by the end of this month, you do not get Shadow Zapdos. So like people found out on December 1st when they completed their Team Rocket stuff, oh no, you don't get Shadow Articuno. You get whatever the bird of the month is. Yeah, I learned that a day too late.
Wow.
RIP. I haven't completed it yet.
Yeah, well, don't look forward to Shadow Articuno, because he ain't getting it.
Well, that's okay. I can deal with not having that.
Yeah, Articuno. Well, Articuno is my favorite of the legendary birds. It is definitely the nichiest of the three. Like, it's definitely the weakest just in terms of like sheer attack strength. Mm-hmm. And while ice type Pokemon always have their uses in just about everything, there's a lot better ice type Pokemon. what was that, Jim?
Is it not Articuno? Not Articuno. Like there's like ice, like you need ice for quite a bit, just don't use Articuno.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Pokemon you can rather use in Pokemon Go and elsewhere.
You're basically just getting Articuno just to have it in your living decks.
Total random aside, because we're talking about ice Pokemon, and I just sort of past that part in the game just a little bit. Watching a giant Obama snows pop up out of nowhere in the wild is pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
I thought when the giant bewares popped up in the wild area, I was like, oh, I'm running.
I'm running.
But when the Obama snows show up, I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
The freakiest part of running through that part of the game was the dancing Mr. Mime. So they pop up and there's like four or five of them and they're all like tap dancing in sync at you. It is like, honest to God, like straight out of a horror movie. You're just like, no, no, no. Like, get it away. Stop. No. Bad. 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 Like, what did I do to deserve this hell?
Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had that experience.
I did have that experience. It was terrifying.
Moving on to the TCG.
Yes, TCG. Here we go.
Yeah.
Some changes are coming to full art cards and secret rares.
Yeah, so we've talked about, so the first Pokemon Sword and Shield set came out. So, you know, now we know that there's, you know, V cards and V max cards. Now we know what the secret rares and the full art rares and the ultra rares are all going to kind of look like. So they're bringing back all these different types of rares, which, you know, play no role in the actual game.
This is from pure collectibility
They just look nice.
Mm-hmm.
So they're changing the patterns on some of these. The big one is so the rainbow secret rares, there will be less of those moving forward. So while trainer cards will now get rainbow rares, they're no longer doing it for just normal Pokemon V cards. Only the V Max cards are getting rainbow rares. Oh. So it'll be so V Max and trainer cards. Another big difference is that the actual holofoil looks different.
Oh yeah, I saw that some of the patterns are different. We even saw that, didn't we? See like a slightly different hologram pattern, but that was even in Cosmic Eclipse, wasn't it?
Or was you're probably thinking of the shiny, whatever the Hidden Legends or the shiny, whatever the shiny expansion that they came out with.
So
variant.
Right.
So, you know, and also like the normal holofoil will have a different pattern than it did with Sun and Moon. The other big thing is that the full art cards, which in like X and Y and Sun and Moon both had like, they were just basically, they were full art. Only in that the Pokemon art, like, you know, covered the full card. The background was always like a monotone color. So it might be purple or red or whatever it was. So now they're using patterns again. So there will be some sort of like, you know, color pattern on the background, which they actually look really cool. So, you know, I always thought those full arts were kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
So
this is really weird. They looked like just weird renderings as opposed to like a finished card.
Yeah. So there's a couple of minor changes, but you know, it's purely for the collectors. And the gold ultra rares will also have that like little sparkle effect. So it's like basically like a little glitter thing going on. Looks cool. I mean, I'll be excited to collect them. Like, you know, I have a full.
We've opened a lot of card packs, and I don't think we've gotten a ultra rare yet.
eBay.
Well, you think I'm gonna willingly pay a price for that?
Here in the office, we've broken up a number of boxes.
A lot. We still don't.
I was about to say, I probably, in my experience, non-eBay buying, I probably have gotten like a dozen or so secret rares. Like, not a ton. I do have a full collection of all the secret rares from the very first Sun and Moon collection, but I had to buy a lot of those. Like, I eBayed a lot. Like, that was my big, like, this was my 2017, like, you know, hobby.
Yeah.
Was I'm going to get every single, like, card that came out for Sun and Moon. So I have all the full arts, I have all the secret rares, even the freaking trainer cards, some of which are were obscenely expensive back then.
Jeez.
Nice.
That's you are a better Pokemon fan for the TCG than I am.
When I go into something, I go into something. And this is why I don't buy Pokemon cards anymore.
You had to nip that.
All right, before we get to our deep dive, real quick, we're talking about the anime. The new episode with including some new Team Rocket stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do like, so actually, Megan, you are the queen of anime and comicbook.com, so I shouldn't take this from you. Please enlighten us with what happened this week.
So the main thing that you need to know about this episode is basically Ash and Go have met each other and they're now friends. They've become research fellows at the Sakuragai Laboratories, which means they're going to be doing a lot of research assistant stuff around not only the Kanto region, but every region basically out there. Ash and Go have some really cute friendship moments, but also like Team Rocket come up and they're like, I just so deeply appreciate Jesse and James in just every way, but they bring back like their mecha stuff. And it is just kind of an A+ episode. It was really something that kind of helped lay like the foundation and groundwork for what's coming with the rest of the series, because now that they've come together, they will be moving forward and going to Galar soon. And
do you think if Ash, let's say Ash has to go from Alola to Galar, is he taking a plane or is he, does he have the hubris to like, make his
he'll
fly him there.
They take a plane.
He'll use a plane. Yeah. He's always used a plane.
Yeah, there are people though who like talk about it like in like Sword and Shield, there's one thing where they say like the woman, there was like a rich couple in one of the house, one of the NPCs you can talk to, and she was like, I took a private jet here, but my husband flew the Corviknight or something. And then she was like, he really regretted it. So, I loved that little piece of world building because it like does say like, if you want, you can take your Corviknight across the ocean to like the Galar region, but you will regret it.
That would be so ridiculous.
I'd be so scared the whole time. But I would say, like, I would probably feel safer. Get
sucked into a jet
because,
engine.
Like,
I'm sorry.
It's a steel type. That plane's going down.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel bad for the plane there.
Yeah, that plane's not going to make it. But, like, I would say this. Like, I don't know if it's just me. Like, I don't mind. I used to have a really big issue with flying because I'm, like, such a control freak. And now I don't care anymore. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, if I had a Pokemon that could fly me to, like, wherever, like a Corviknight, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And, like, I had a really good bond with that Pokemon, I'd probably feel a little bit safer. Be like, if I fell off, this Corviknight would get me. Right. But, yeah. So, they're taking planes.
Yeah. The thing that I liked about this latest episode was how Team Rocket gets their Pokemon this time around. They're no longer, so you know, in the past series, Team Rocket has gone the Ash route where, you know, they've kind of gone native. They pick up a couple Pokemon and they just use them over and over and over again. So the battles get kind of repetitive. This time around, it looks like that won't happen. Giovanni sends them Pokemon that can only be unlocked using Meowth's coin.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So they actually have like full Team Rocket. Like, you know, because it never made sense. Like I remember when James was like, I have a Mime Jr. And it's like, oh, okay. like, Ash, do you want to step on that?
Like, but here's the thing. I have become very attached to I love Jesse and James's Beware, and I love their I love their Wobbuffet, right? And so, you know, I get it, but at the same time,
Well, Wobbuffet's still around. I think
Beware literally yeeted them out of the Alola region. Beware said, "It's been great." Yeet. I'm excited to see where they go forward moving with this. I also just love Go's reaction. We've seen stills and stuff where he will react to like Team Rocket, like even in the first trailer, and he was like, who are you?
Do we think that Team Rocket will end up like, I guess if they are in the Galar region with some of the traditional Team Yell type Pokemon, or will they probably get paired up with something else?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how much they're going to use them. I'm hoping that they get used more like how they were used in Black and White. Black and White was a terrible anime.
Yes.
But that was like one of the, I'm thinking of the right one, right? Because they weren't in Black and White, right? Okay, good. I kind of like, you know, get lost. I remember mainly because Black and White was an awful anime. But that was the one good thing, was like Team Rocket was actually a threat because they weren't in every single episode. Mm-hmm. You know, they made their spot, you know, they made their appearances. They were actually a threat when they showed up. Mm-hmm. And that way they weren't just like kind of consigned to like goofy, you know, side characters where like, well, I don't know what to do with them. I guess they're going to interrupt the plot at this point.
Yeah.
This may be a spoiler only because I haven't really gotten to that point because where my daughter and I are doing a slow watch of Sun and Moon.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be inevitably a spoiler question if someone is in the same spot that I am in.
Gotcha.
Does anything happen with the Alolan Meowth that basically tricked his way into Giovanni's inner circle? There's the episode where they find the alone Meowth, and he just, and then like he basically uses Team Rocket and whatever to basically get to Giovanni, and then does he show up again?
I don't actually. I can't remember. I don't think
I think I like nothing big happens with them. No, I think there's like some
like a very cool thing to pick up.
I think it's just like you kind of see like background stuff. I want to say you do see him again, but it's not like we have a whole episode dedicated to this Meowth seating himself that I can recall.
Fair.
It's not like Malamar being like a secondary bad guy in Pokemon XY.
Yeah.
Where like this evil mind controlling Malamar showed up like three times. It was creepy. Yeah, Meowth doesn't play that role. Although I'm really excited to see how Meowth reacts to bearded better Meowth. Mm.
That is probably going to be the best part of when they
Who has a different evolution? Which...
There is a fantastic piece of fan art that's out there. Where it was like some like Jesse and James are a married couple and they have a kid. And so the first one is of their little girl holding this like rabid Meowth, and like the Meowth has like foam coming out of its mouth and like it's baring its teeth and it's like looking just absolutely insane. And she's like, "Mommy, Daddy, can I keep it?" And you see like Jesse and James looking in horror and Meowth just giving it like the nastiest look ever. And it's like, oh my God, I want this now. It was really cute fan art. I can't, it popped up on my Twitter feed.
One day we'll get Pokemon Next Generations. And then we'll get that.
Nice. All right. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit further. We're going through a bit of a walkthrough of Sword and Shield. And so stay tuned.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, this week we're going through basically the next set. So we talked about like basically starter stuff. Mm-hmm. The first two gyms we talked about last week.
The first gym. But
mainly good old Leaf Boy.
Right. And then, so now it's the next two and a little bit beyond, and some best Pokemon. Well, if you're at this point in the game, these are the ones that you should definitely be looking at and picking up. So
yeah,
Nessa and Kabu, thoughts.
I love.
Nessa. Nessa's design is probably, she's probably my favorite gym leader in this game.
I loved her gym puzzle.
I see, the gym puzzle was exactly the same as what it was in the like teaser in the that they did.
Yeah, in the preview the same game. One
so,
I did.
So I was a little disappointed by that. I was expecting just a little bit more. I was like, I just pushed this and this. Oh yeah, I'm through. Like again.
Right. To be fair, it's the second gym. So
So I liked it. I did like it a lot. The thing that kind of surprised me about this was, you know, Nessa was the first one that had a Gigantamax Pokemon.
Yes.
Because she had her Gigantamax Dreadnought. And I didn't realize up until that point that was going to be a thing that was, like, regularly used. All of the gym leaders, save for Milo and, you know, the it's a spoiler, so we won't say who else doesn't have a Gigantamax Pokemon. Mm-hmm. All of them use one.
Yeah.
And I thought that was actually quite surprising and cool. Yeah. Like, I thought that was really neat. Nessa wasn't really much of an issue with me because, you know, I was rocking Grookey.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that was the thing for me. I had to go find a grass Pokemon because I had really nothing but everything weak against water.
So, but luckily you just went and picked up, you know, like an Eldegloss, right? And, you know.
Yes, yeah. I did. And then I immediately stuck it in a box afterwards.
No. Well, man, poor decisions by Jim, a running thread in our respective
I have not looked back. To be fair, I am still very, actually, no, I'm fine on grass type, on not pure grass types, because I have a number of Pokemon that just have strong grass moves that are still strong against water, but I am surprisingly water deficient. I have not found a water type Pokemon that I like outside. I mean, I like Dreadnought fine, but
you know who I end up using as my main water Pokemon throughout all this? Beriscuda. I actually
hate Beriscuda. Like
he's so fast.
I know. Like I need to get over. Like, this is going to sound incredibly vain. He's just not a cool looking Pokemon, and so I just don't want him.
He's a submarine. That's a Pokemon. He has a propeller tail. Yeah. That's awesome.
The one that I've been and now I can't remember because I just picked it up. The one whose special ability is schooling.
Yes.
Oh, Wishy-Washy.
Yes. Wishy-Washy.
Wishy-Washy has the coolest ability.
I do like Wishy-Washy.
I love Wishy-Washy.
He has been my sort of go-to water fish person.
But the problem is during my first playthrough, because I had Sobble, I was like, I don't need another water. I'm just going to power up this into an Inteleon and be fine. But now, like, I'm doing my second playthrough and I'm like, all right, leave. Yeah, now I'm trying to find water stuff because it was like, I didn't have to worry about that. But that's the weird thing about this.
Like, there aren't, like, most of the water types are just like are fish.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was a bit more diversity.
You have a fishing rod so early in the game.
It's
a default item for you. So you have access to basically every water type Pokemon that's available up to that point. You just got to use it.
I picked up the octopus fighting.
Grappled
or something.
Something like that. That's a good one to pick up.
Yeah, it's Lavapus and Graplocked.
Now we're getting a little
That is a late game.
So that was the thing for me where like I basically had to pick up an Eldegoss just to train up a bit just for this gym, and then I stuck her back in the box. But she was like Nessa was fine. Like she wasn't
Later in the game.
Well, I mean, Christian made it when we talked about it, some of our initial thoughts on it. Christian, you had mentioned that the gyms in this game weren't as hard as maybe we thought they would be.
It's especially
the case in these early gyms.
The first three gyms, like if you're a seasoned Pokemon player, you will finish so quickly.
I didn't have a problem with any of the only gym that I had any sort of issue with was the dragon type gym, and that's only because he's not really a dragon type trainer, guys.
No, he's not. He's a liar.
I just finished that and I was just like, what the heck?
I came out with like a full-on like dragon team to go and fight, you know, dragon with dragon, and then this jerk starts showing up with like freaking ground type Pokemon. It's like, what is the Sandaconda doing here, bud?
So for the third gym, though, third gym's Kabu, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the older fire trainer. He
was probably my favorite, of the character. Like,
I know.
As a character,
he was so tricky. He was like, "I've been at this for 50 years," and I was like, "You've been at this for." And I understand, like in the game, like purposely, the first gyms you go through, they're not trying to annihilate you,
right?
Because they're like in the story. They want people to get through to the other gyms and like for actual like meta game reasons. They don't want you to be like, they want you to be able to beat them. But it was just the funniest thing to me. Cause I was like, you've been at this for 50 plus years and you're telling me that you lost to Leon. You lost to Leon? Like, is that saying?
Whose big Pokemon is a Charizard. Which is a fire type. Like,
there was no part of this equation that made sense to me.
But hey, that is unbeatable Leon. the unbeatable champion with his unbeatable Charizard, mm-hmm. you will say his name correctly. Did you know he is unbeatable?
Of the designs, too, I think Kabu's got a really cool look to him.
I love that he, like, trots out, mm-hmm. Like out of the tunnel, like, with his towel. He, like, actually, like, kind of, like, does, like, a jog out. It's like, you know what? Like, hell yeah, man. Like,
you are really trying.
You are like every ultimate frisbee player over the age of 27, because that is when they start their like Masters League. You know, once you hit like 28 years old, you're an old man in ultimate frisbee. Kabu's that guy. He's that guy.
I will say this. I loved the gym challenge.
Yeah,
because like you had to like go in. It was like you have to catch these Pokemon or like beat them before your other people could. And I got in there and I was like, I want all these Pokemon. And it became like a thing where I forgot I was in a gym.
Well, like for me too. So it was so funny because when I initially did it, like because they throw you out like a 2-on-1 basically, and I forget that. The guy that's the one that's on your side is actively working against you. And so so I would just for fun knock the other guy out. Like I would, I would hit it, but like it was such a thing that like I totally forgot that was a thing that.
Yeah.
You could do that. I was like, oh, yeah, get out of here. This is mine.
No, I totally forgot because I was just like, oh, okay, because I just wasn't thinking and I would attack the Pokemon we were trying to go through. And then it would be the person who I was, the gym trainer who I needed to challenge. And then he attacked me. And I was like, what is this friendly fire? Like, I don't understand. And then I realized, like, it's a competition. So then I very quickly knocked them out, especially because, like, at that point I had Sobble's mid evolution and I was just like, get rid of them. So that was pretty great. But yeah, no, I just loved Kabu. Also, for anyone who watches Naruto, he gives off serious, like, Uchiha vibes. Like, he is absolutely a descendant of the Uchiha clan. If you have, like, his design, his personality, the way he walks, everything about him, Uchiha. So just if you're curious, I will throw that in there. But yeah, it was easy for me because I had Sobble and he was very powerful at that point. So
and then the next one, so the after them is the Sword and Shield specific.
Yeah, it's the first of two sort of the first of two gems that are Sword and Shield specific. So I had Bea or Bea, who is the fighting type specialist, which, you know, wasn't really much of an issue with me. I kind of just like plowed through. I didn't even have like a Pokemon with the type advantage other than Corvus Squire. I just beat up her Pokemon. It was pretty rough. So that was who I had. I was surprised that Machamp had a Gigantamax. That was when, you know, he pops up. And then I find out that, you know, Alistair has an even better Gigantamax Pokemon, which has the creepiest, like, flavor text and probably I've ever seen in this game. Yeah, he's got...
Who was Alistair's?
Gengar.
He's the Gengar.
Oh, right, the Gengar,
he's the
right.
Giant with, like, Gengar. With, like,
the mouth to hell.
Yeah.
The literal mouth to hell. Like, this is not even exaggeration. Gigantamax Gengar becomes a literal gate to hell. Like it becomes like this big cave.
It becomes like the lion, like entrance to the Cave of Wonders in Aladdin with the lion just like opening his mouth and you're just supposed to go in. But it's like a weird horror carnival inside his mouth.
Well, when you stand by it, the voices of your dead loved ones call to you and tell you to join them. And it's like, what? Gengar, what is going on?
Gengar is inherently just messed up. But I will say once I caught my wild area Gengar, he has not left my team in that first playthrough.
I'm still trying to find, because like I get frustrated that he only shows up in certain areas in a certain day of the, you know, whatever.
He pops up a lot in the second day, or like if once you clear Leon, it'll be a lot easier to catch him. I mean, part of the issue is with these games is that they specifically make it. I mean, no one has confirmed this yet, but there's enough like anecdotal evidence here that they've changed the catch rates. Like, it is a lot harder to catch Pokemon that are at a higher level than you. Like, I've tested this out like anecdotally, like probably when this like news, like this rumor first came out that this was something, like I went and did this like 50 times. Like, I dropped something down to like a level 60 Pokemon. I dropped it down to 1 HP, paralyzed the sucker and then, like, you know, started, like, throwing Pokeballs with a level 3 Grubbin. Mm. Couldn't catch it. Could not catch it.
Yeah.
You know, second I pulled out, like, a level 61 Pokemon, insta-catch. Like, didn't even bother shaking it. It's like, you know, the Pokemon just walked over to my side and it's like, I am yours. And it's like, and it happened, like, I think I had, like, 20 out of 24 catches on the first try the second I switched out to a higher level Pokemon. So, yeah, like, Gengar, because Gengar pops up, I think, like, 33, like, in, like, a third of the weather conditions over on, I can't remember which area. It's just south of the Lake of Outrage. But, yeah, so he pops up, but he's basically impossible to catch until you actually beat the game.
Noted.
Yeah.
Alistair, so I have Shield, so I fought Alistair. Yeah, and
same.
Like what we're going to really sort of talk about next, it was a lot easier for me because I had an Impidimp already.
Yep.
And that was the only thing I needed. And to be fair, that Impidimp I caught is still on my team and one of my MVPs.
Yeah, Grimmsnarl. Yeah. Grimmsnarl is a freaking beast.
Grimmsnarl great.
I love Grimmsnarl. Super useful. Like, he has a pretty good move set. He's great at countering a lot. He's definitely, he was on my team. He made my championship team. He was a critical part. So I liked him a lot.
He's intense. And he looks like Devilman, so. Which makes sense.
He does. Which is weird, because, his Pokedex entry is, like, he looks like this big muscular thing, but it's just hair.
Just his hair, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, that's super creepy.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a couple of Pokemon that's like that, where it's like, it's actually their hair! Like, there's the Hatterene's evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she actually's got this little tiny body, and the rest of it's just like her hat slash antenna slash whatever the hell it is that makes her look like a phallic symbol.
Oh, no.
Some of the other good pickup Pokemon to pick up when you're sort of in this phase of the game?
Applin is a very good Pokemon to get and then evolve into either Flapple or Appleton, which, right? That's the pie version.
Yeah.
Stupid, freaking amazing Pokemon. both of those are just, I recommend you get them because that entire line is adorable. Just the best. I haven't even tried to see, like, oh, what can I do with this Pokemon? I just, like, see him, I'm like, oh, you're just a cute little apple, aren't you? You're an apple with eyes. Yes, you are. And yes, and then the horrifying fossil Pokemon.
Yeah.
Which are just abominations against man.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen these yet, we haven't gotten into the game. Basically, they changed up the way fossils are done in the game.
So, you know, this is all done to make fun of something that actually happened in England. So, you know, England, they were like the first ones who were like, these dinosaur bones are dinosaurs, and we shall reconstruct them. And they got, like, some of them, like, horrifically wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so the... Was it the
Brontosaurus never existed? It was just a bunch
it's stuff like that. Like, one of the big ones that they did was, like, this dinosaur has a horn on its nose. And in reality, it was its thumb. And so, you know, and they crafted these Pokemon, and then they put them in, like, the gardens to, I believe, the Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all these, like, dinosaur sculptures that are just horrifically wrong, and people, like, make fun of them. And eventually, most of them were, like, updated with more accurate versions, but, like, some of the wrong ones, like, the horrifically wrong ones are still out there. And so Game Freak decided to make fun of them about this. So they're like, yes, you can combine any top and any bottom to make these Pokemon, and none of these Pokemon are actually Pokemon. They're just horrific abominations that shouldn't exist. Like, one of my favorites is, I believe it's Arctifish, or not Arctifish, Dragovish, which it's, you know, again, it's got a fish head on a tail. So the fish head, you know, the body, it's very clearly the bottom half of, like, a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's cut off, and you see it's, like, you know, torso. It kind of forms this, like, flat stomach, and then there's a fish head tacked onto the top of its tail. And so it can run at speeds up to 40 miles per hour, but it can't breathe unless it's in water. It's like, oh my god!
That's legitimately horrifying.
Yeah, and there's, like, and so there's four of them, because there's two tops, Pokemon tops, and there's two Pokemon bottoms, and you can mix and match them, and they're all horrifying. They're all horrifying, they shouldn't exist, and one of them is so freaking OP, it's not even funny.
Mm.
Just the fishiest rend is just a nutty move, and you're going to see so much of it in competitive play this year.
Cool thing is that, like, you can get, like, so we talked about the digging guys mm-hmm. in the wild area. Like, they will actually come back with fossil pieces. And so
you can, there is,
I don't know the exact number, but there are enough chances for you to put together every permutation
of
the fossil Pokemon.
Each game has one fossil that is incredibly rare, but it is not exclusive to the game. Pokemon Sword and Shield actually did this a few times. Like, Vulpix is a pretty common Pokemon in Pokemon Sword. Mm-hmm. It is a rare Pokemon in Pokemon Shield. And Growlithe is a common Pokemon in Pokemon Sword, or is a rare one in Sword and a common one in Shield. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, a few of those that are like that. And so the fossils, that's another one where they're not impossible to get, but they'll be very hard. And I wish I could remember which one it is. Mm-hmm. So, like, basically it comes out to, like, one of those four Pokemon should be hard, or two of those Pokemon should be hard to get for you, but mm-hmm. not impossible.
Cool.
Gotcha.
All right, Christian, let's go to the fan favorite segment of the week. Give us our Pokemon fact.
So we're continuing our jaunt through the Pokedex. So this week we're talking about Spearow and Pharaoh, and there's, I'll be honest, guys, there's nothing interesting about these Pokemon. Not a single good Pokemon fact. So,
and rightfully so. They're like, I get they're OG 150, 151 or whatever, but those are easily the two most forgettable Pokemon.
Yeah, the coolest like pokey fact about them is that Pharaoh apparently never needs to rest when it's flying. It can just stay in the air forever. It's like a perpetual flying machine.
Those are the ones to fly. Oh, across oceans.
However, there is kind of an interesting tidbit about Pharaoh. So in the anime, Ash ends up losing his Pidgeotto, you know, literally his second oldest Pokemon, or technically third oldest Pokemon, maybe second oldest, I forget. You know, he caught a Pidgeotto in like the second episode along with Caterpie, and he ended up having to get rid of it, you know, leave it behind, because the Spearow that he antagonized in, you know, that first episode evolved into a Pharaoh and basically is like, Pallet Town is mine. And so he's like, no, Pidgeotto, evolve into Pidgeot and take care of this mess. And like, so Pidgeot is now the protector of the, like, you know, Pallet Town Viridian Forest area. So that's how it goes in the anime. That's how Pidgeot, you know, why Pidgeot's no longer hanging out with Ash. In the manga, and like Ash's, you know, the Electric Tale of Pikachu manga, it's actually the opposite. So in the manga, there is a Pharaoh that is the leader of the Spearow that decide to attack Ash and Pikachu. Mm-hmm. Ash ends up catching that Pharaoh. He does also get Pidgeotto, but Pidgeotto basically like abandons him like mm-hmm. the next chapter. So Pharaoh is his main flying type. Pharaoh takes that role that Pidgeotto mm-hmm. has throughout yeah. that entire thing. So it's kind of like an opposite role where like Pharaoh basically becomes one of his most loyal Pokemon. And it's one of the biggest differences between mm-hmm. the anime and that, like, the official animated adaptation of the official manga adaptation of the anime. Because, you know, Pokemon Adventures is, like, wildly freaking different. Mm. But, you know, this is the one, the Electric Tale of Pikachu is the one that's directly based on the anime and uses Ash and Pikachu, not Red and Pikachu, but literally Ash Ketchum. You know, in one version, you know, Pharaoh is this recurring antagonist, but in the other, Pharaoh is one of Ash's most loyal Pokemon. So, you know, it's like parallel dimensions.
Nice. All right, with that being said, a wild podcast has appeared, shows up wherever podcasts can be found every Thursday. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, we will read five-star iTunes reviews, and if you leave us a five-star iTunes review, we read it on the air. You get a chance to win a free comicbook.com t-shirt. Mm-hmm. We will mm-hmm. probably do some of those next week, so get your reviews in now. Maybe you'll get a free t-shirt for next week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really about it. I'm going to try and sign up for the online challenge. I can't wait
for you to go 0-15.
Oh, wow. There we go. There's the saucy Hoffer.
I'm going to do it so I have stories to tell.
I
need to beat the game first. So I'm super close.
I already know what next week's episode is going to be titled. Jim ignored Christian and lost a lot.
Wow.
I don't care about losing. It's about the adventure, Christian.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish there was something that could start Archivish. If only I had participated in a podcast in which Christian gave me three counters.
Yeah, exactly.
Good to know. Well, if you run in, if you also like sign up for anything, please let us know what your results are.
Yeah, let us know what your teams are.
Yeah, let us know what your team and if you wind up beating Jim's result.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Let's see if the listeners have better luck than I do. Yes, that sounds like a sound idea that won't make me feel awful about myself.
Yeah. see if you can get more than zero wins. Oh boy.
All right. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
I'm at Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I'm at C Hoffer C Bus.
All right, folks. We'll catch you next week. Talk to you later.